Now batting for the Brewers Radio Network, play-by-play announcer Lane Grindle.
Here's a fly ball, left center field. Churio on the run, at the track, at the wall, jumped up. Jackson Churio brought it back! Ho-ho-ho! Jackson elevated above the wall, and he pulled back a home run from Royce Lewis. Incredible!
On Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Man, that call is so good.
I know, it's
good.
So fun.
Our guy, Lane Grindle, is with us this afternoon like he is every Monday. Hello, Lane.
Hello, how we doing?
Good. Hey, can we step back a couple of days? I want to ask you your impressions of the home run, alumni home run derby, because that seems so cool. What a special thing for the fans and for our city.
Yeah, it really was. I think everybody knew in the lead up to it, it had a chance to be pretty cool, but I'm not sure anybody realized what it was really going to be like when it all culminated into that day and that event. And I think for me, being down on the field and being one of the MCs, to look back into the lower bowl and the upper deck and the terrace level and see it still completely full. I don't know if 5,000 people left when the game ended. You know, the Brewers had lost that game, and it was still completely packed. I bet there was at least 38,000 fans still here for that entire home run derby. It was really cool. It's also a testament, I think, to this city, to this state, to this fan base in general, and the way they treat the players that come through here. I do a lot of work with Brewers alums, and all of them, to a T, say the same things about playing here. And a lot of them played at a lot of other markets for a lot of other teams, and no place treats their players like Milwaukee does, like the Brewers do, and like these fans do, and I think that was very evident on Friday.
Oh, Ryan Braun looks so happy to be there.
Yeah, he was. I think Ryan, if I know him, he's pretty competitive, so he wanted to hit a few more in the actual competition. But I think in the grand scheme, they all understood what it was really about, and that was, you know, raising some money for charity and connecting with these fans once again. And I think everybody walked away from it just really loving that event. And it was neat. I mean, we get to see Bronny back here usually once or twice over the course of the year. But to see Billy Hall, and we see Corey Hart quite a bit because we'll see him down at spring training. But to see Casey McGee, just guys that you don't get to see all the time, that was a lot of fun. And even guys that weren't in the Home Run Derby that were back as a part of the 25-year anniversary of American Family Field. Guys like Mark Loretta, I mean, he was down on the field during the Home Run Derby having the time of his life. Seeing Mike Moustakas, Eric Sogard, the list goes on. It was just really fun to see all those guys.
We can hear batting practice behind you, Lane. What's going on down on the field?
Yeah, Brewers taking BP right now, getting ready for this big series. Cubs relievers are out in left stretching, and a handful of fans roped off behind home plate watching the Brewers take BP. So this will be a fun series. I think everybody's been looking forward to this one for a while.
It's a fight for the top of the NL Central. I didn't realize, I can't believe that both are tied exactly, 62-43.
Yeah, both of them have the best record in the National League right now, and they're both a half game out from the best record in Major League Baseball. The Brewers have caught fire. They're playing great baseball. I don't know that they felt like they played their brand of ball on Friday and Saturday, and maybe even for some of the innings yesterday, but I think you'll see a focus that we saw in L.A. and Seattle for this series against this Cubs team. It's a dangerous team. The Cubs have a very deep lineup, albeit it's been maybe not the lineup that you saw when the Cubs came to town in early May. Over the last couple of weeks, a handful of their hitters have cooled off a little bit since the All-Star break, so we'll see if Seiya Suzuki can get on track. Kyle Tucker, guys like that. But, you know, both of these teams, too, it's a couple of days before the trade deadline, and so they're both going to be looking to improve themselves before Thursday, because whatever happens in this series, if the Brewers sweep it, if the Cubs sweep it, if they one or the other just wins the series 2-1, this division is far from over coming out of Wednesday. And so both teams are going to be trying to stock up with as much as they can to help their teams, and we're going to have, I think, a really fun final 2 months of this season.
Brewers broadcaster Lane Grindle is with us. Lane, it's such a fun team to watch. There's no glaring hole. There's no real need, like, oh my gosh, we absolutely have to have that. But suddenly, it seems like there's a surplus of starting pitching, and I know you'll say there's never enough starting pitching, which is fair, but there's a lot of quality starters on this team. Do you expect that maybe one of them will get moved, that the Brewers will do something as we close in on the Thursday deadline?
I wouldn't rule it out. I don't even know if it would be somebody currently in the rotation today. But, I mean, the Brewers really have a rotation of like 10 guys.
Right.
Consider what's going on in AAA. They optioned Tobias Myers back down to AAA today. He pitched well out of the bullpen the last couple of times that he came out of the bullpen in Seattle and in that Marlins series. But the Brewers want to keep him stretched out for starting pitching depth. You really need probably a minimum of 7 to 8 legitimate starting pitchers to get yourselves through a full 162. I think that's probably pretty fair. The Brewers have more than that, and so there are going to be teams that are looking for starting pitching, maybe contending teams that are looking for starting pitching, and then sometimes the teams that are moving players need some starting pitching back that is established because somebody's got to cover the innings of all the guys that they're going to move to maybe one of the contenders. So there's a lot of different ways that puzzle can fit. I don't think anybody really knows because a deal's not across the finish line until it's across the finish line. And a lot of deals, you know, landed at the 5 and never got pushed across that we've never heard about. And that's just the way the trade deadline works. So it wouldn't shock me if something like that happened, but I think the Brewers will be really careful about what they do to subtract anything from this core group because it's been so good. But I do think they feel like this team has earned the right to have some additions to it that are going to help them in some spots. And so, you know, is that a bat? Is that a reliever? I think that remains to be seen. Is it both? I think it could be. We'll have to see.
Is the Miz still starting tonight?
He is. Yeah, this should be fun. I mean, Matthew Boyd is on the mound for the Cubs. He has a 23-inning consecutive scoreless streak going right now. He's been one of the best pitchers in the National League, and he has had a wonderful year for the Cubs. He does not throw 98, 99. He is a left-handed pitcher, and he fits the description of a left-handed pitcher. He is having a remarkable year. And then you have Miz, who throws 132 miles an hour from the right side, opposite of him. So you get a contrast of styles tonight, but both guys are two of the better pitchers right now in the National League. So this is going to be a really fun matchup for Game 1 of this series.
Man, you got that right. Love to hear you there at the ballpark. Brewers broadcaster Lane Grindle. Lane, have a great call tonight. Thanks for always making time for us.
You bet. Appreciate it.